All right, welcome members, and plugging in here on Tuesday night, the 31st of May, 2022. Hope you guys are doing fine out there. Very cold and windy, freezing here in Sydney, Australia. Unbelievable, man. As I said, what happened to global warming? What happened to it? It's freezing. Anyway, everything's up on the website, crazfiles.com. Hope you guys are enjoying the website. And as always, thank you so much for your ongoing support. Can't keep that website up and running without your support. So it's great to have you on deck as we move forward into 2022 and very strange times, uncharted territory. But we keep the faith and we just keep moving forward and stay safe and sane. It's just crazy times. It's unbelievable. It seems that all this COVID nonsense, like, it's all starting to just fall apart. But all their lies, you know, the government and media lies, is just, they just have to keep lying and lying to cover their lies. You know what I mean? And it's just unbelievable. It's kind of intensifying in that way, and it's really insane. Watching some of it and this crazy stuff that they're making up to cover all their lies. These people truly know no lows. There's just no limits that they won't go to just keep covering up their lies, you know? And the mainstream media is a classic representational reflection of this disgusting and putrid darkness. Just filthy liars, and there has to come a breaking point. It really does. Has to come a breaking point. People have just absolutely had enough. So I'll zip through whatever is in front of me tonight. Just talking about global warming, anyway. You know, because that's what Australians voted for, didn't they? They voted to save the climate, and they voted for these lunatics who are going to really screw with their lives. This one I was just looking at before from Natural News: global freezing, Arctic ice levels reach 30-year high. You know, this is happening, and it's absolutely freezing. We're getting blasted here in Sydney. It's incredible. You know, it's freezing to be outside. Despite ever-rising carbon dioxide CO2 levels, Arctic ice is actually expanding, not melting. The World Economic Forum recently convened in its annual conference of wankers in Davos, Switzerland, to discuss the climate crisis. It was revealed there that Arctic ice is currently at a 30-year high, according to data from the Intergovernmental European Organization for the Exploitation of Meteorological Satellites. Globalist groups like WEF have been pushing for years to redistribute the wealth of nations to their pockets as a remedy for alleged global warming, like going and lining up to the cinema to watch Al Gore's fantasy movie, and where he scared everybody and it just lined his pockets with lots and lots of money, and now he lives in opulence and massive amounts of wealth. You know, and people still don't get it. And it turns out that the real problem might be global freezing, caught in too much ice. One of the primary metrics used by climate fanatics to make their wild climate claims is Arctic ice. We have been told for years that the polar ice caps are melting, which Al Gore infamously said would cause flooding due to sea level increases. As I said, there's old black and white images from the beaches here where I grew up in, from way, way back in the days, and black and white photos, and the sea level is pretty much exactly the same. The only reason that it's changed in some areas is because they stripped all the natural sand dunes away and they put fucking ugly houses there, and now they're complaining about it and want help. Well, you shouldn't have taken out the sand dunes and built your house right on the sand. It's not our fault that you've got too much money and so little taste. You have to deal with that now because you've eroded the beach and you've caused damage there. But it isn't climate change because you look at the beaches that have been left and they're perfectly fine. Don't fucking kid me. In 2007, Al Gore began warning the world that scientists were predicting that by 2013, wow, God, the Arctic would be ice-free. Remember that during the summer, there'd be no ice there. Clean slate, writes Art Moore for WND about how wrong these lunatics ended up being with their climate hysteria. Well, they're con artists. The climate is always changing. That's a fact, you know. It's always different. And as we were talking about with Hugh the other night, they call it climate change now. Well, of course the climate change. Today and yesterday, and we're going to get even more freezing weather. If the climate didn't change, then we wouldn't have any seasons. It would just... I mean, it's crazy. Are they saying that because we have seasons and summer and spring and autumn and winter, that's climate change? Because that's natural and it's gone on like a revolving wheel forever. It's absolutely crazy. So because we're going through freezing temperatures now, the climate change nutters are going to say it's climate change. It's climate change. Yes, the climate changes. Tomorrow it could be raining. It's absolutely insane. And this is pretty universal as well, this information. So, you know, things are getting colder from what I can see. As I said, no order to these articles, just running through the latest news that I have saved today. So this one from activist poster Scotia Bank apologises for freezing Canadians' bank accounts. Scotia or Bank has become the first Canadian bank to apologise for freezing people's bank accounts, specifically the account of Freedom Convoy organiser BJ Ditcher. We understand you raised a concern regarding your personal accounts, having a hold placed on them. Please accept our sincere apologies, they say, for the frustration and inconvenience this situation may have caused. And thank you for your patience while we prepared our response. Scotia Bank wrote in an email to Ditcher that can be found on his Substack. We can confirm that financial institutions acted quickly to unfreeze accounts after the RCMP notified us that it believes that individuals and entities previously identified are no longer engaged in conduct or activities prohibited under the emergency measures regulations. That's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's little wet dream fantasy, his emergency measures regulations. I'm sure he's making up a lot of these things. So the bank continues stating that while they've unfrozen most accounts, some may remain frozen due to other legal issues. While most customer accounts have been unfrozen, it is important to remember that some accounts may be frozen for a variety of other reasons, including to comply with court orders or proceedings related to illegal activities or other unrelated legal matters. They write, while it's good that at least one bank has apologised for wrongfully restricting access to Canadians' bank accounts, there's little evidence that the Prime Minister had the authority to order these restrictions in the first place. Well, of course there's not. What he did was illegal. He's a criminal and he needs to be charged. He needs to be arrested and charged and put on trial. Not for just all of this stuff, but for murder, for crimes against humanity, just like Daniel Andrews. Just like all these state premiers in Australia that have got away with this. They have to be. But look at these slobs, these disgusting demonic entities up there with the World Economic Forum meeting, having their caviar and their lavish dinners and staying in their incredible opulent apartments, flying in on their jets with private chefs, the best of everything, while they're telling us that we should be eating bugs and worms and cockroach milk, and that we're destroying the planet, and we need to kill at least 50% of you rats, you know what I mean? And laughing about it, and laughing. That's what they're doing. They're sitting up there and they're laughing. And when you talk about arresting these people, they just laugh even harder because they're untouchable until the billions of people change that. And they get knives and baseball bats and guns and weapons and they go and drag them out of their little castles onto the streets and they hang the bastards. That's what needs to happen. An eye for an eye. Natural justice. These people are above the law because it's their law and they'll just keep making more laws. But when the people go bananas, maybe they'll just go under their bunkers or something or get in their little capsules and shoot somewhere. Who knows? The arrogance is absolutely unbelievable of these people, you know what I mean? There was just another one from Canada, that's all. Couple I saved from there today from the BMG. COVID-19, Quebec to tax the unvaccinated as vaccine mandates spread in Europe. So people think that the COVID-19 situation has gone away, but it hasn't. Quebec's plan to charge adults not vaccinated against coronavirus a health contribution fee will go ahead. The province's Premier François Legault said on 13th of January, what a date, despite getting a cool reception from the Canadian federal government and the leaders of other provinces, several of whom said they would not be copying the idea. The amount to be charged has not been revealed, but will be significant, Legault said, promising that a bill will be presented to the legislature early in February. So again, completely illegal, against the law in every way, shape, and form. These people should be arrested and, you know, charged and arrested and put on trial for what they're doing. What they're doing is against all laws. It's against Canadian laws, but they're doing it anyway because they don't care, just like Daniel Andrews. I saw Daniel Andrews the other day because you've got these rich white women down there in wealthy suburbs. You would have seen that in the news. They're scared for their lives because of these fucking African migrants that Daniel Andrews has brought in that we've been talking about for years. And they're robbing homes and they're committing rapes and they're robbing cars and they're burning shit and they're looting these migrants from Africa, you know, Somalia or wherever the hell they're from. These teenagers, they're running wild in hoods and they're smashing and robbing and breaking stores. And so these people have come out in very wealthy suburbs and they've complained and said, I don't feel safe here anymore. And Daniel Andrews couldn't give a shit. And he's the one that started it all because that's part of his plan. And, you know, as all these kind of white people move out of these areas, then slowly you're going to get a situation like Detroit because these blacks can't do shit. They can't grow anything, they can't do anything, they can't work, they can't produce, they can't run anything. So if white people leave these white areas and blacks move in, you just start to get crime, graffiti and everything falls to pieces like we saw in Detroit. Just like we're seeing in South Africa, they're getting rid of all the white farmers, they can't grow food, they can't look after themselves, and then you get a downward spiral, a disaster. This is what's happening, and this is Daniel Andrews' idea. I guess maybe it's all part of the Great Global Reset, and it is white genocide. But he couldn't give a shit, and he purposely acted like he didn't even know their names when he was out there. So this guy is not even above the law, okay? He's getting massive financial backing, Daniel Andrews, and he will get in the next election. He's only just getting started, folks, I'm telling you. Daniel Andrews' job has only just begun. He will get in again this year. He will be voted in. If I'm wrong, I'll get up here and admit it, but I'm pretty sure he's going to get back in, and then the next round will start for that. But he's the one who allowed all these African migrants from war-torn, violent countries to come into this country and run wild. And now they're committing such violent crimes that the average Aussies just aren't used to it. And of course, don't forget that the average Aussie is disarmed. I've spoken to security guards down there. They said these Africans run around with machetes going berserk. They're pulling people out of their cars on the street, smashing the windscreens out. They're looting people's homes and shops. They're breaking into people's homes. They're committing rape, all of this stuff. So they're going bananas. And the police, where are they? See, Daniel Andrews doesn't know where the police are. Well, what about the protests in Melbourne when people went out there to stand up against Daniel Andrews' draconian violent regime? Well, he had endless amounts of police forces to bash people's heads in and shoot people in the backs with rubber bullets and hit people in the face with rifle butts. He had thousands upon thousands upon thousands of every kind of police division that you can conjure up. Riot police, of so many levels of riot police. Counter-terrorism police, mounted police, police forces everywhere. You couldn't even breathe in Melbourne when those lockdowns were on and when those protests were on. He had thousands upon thousands upon thousands of these brutal police forces bashing people's heads in to control them. But with these Africans running wild in the streets down there and people coming out and saying, I don't feel safe anymore because they're breaking into our homes and wanting to rape us, Daniel Andrews doesn't have a clue about it, and there's not one police officer on the scene. Okay, so the longer that we as a society put up with him, and it looks like people in Melbourne are going to, they're going to put up with him and they're going to continue to allow this fucking animal to run wild down there. Well, guess what? He's going to vote himself in again this year, and it's just going to get worse and worse. Why? Because the general population keep putting up with it, and they refuse to grow a spine and stand up and do something. If enough people stand up and do something and start pushing back and walking over the top of these police forces, then we have a big problem in this country. Then they will be forced to do something. But at this present time in history, folks, he doesn't give a stuff. He laughed about it and he mocked them, okay? Because he is untouchable and he is above the law. And he's not answering to anyone in this country, and he will do whatever the hell that he wants to do, and no one will be able to stop him because they're too gutless and cowardly and weak, and that's a fact. So again, moving to this article in Canada, those who refuse to get the jabs. Can you believe that I'm even reading this? This is absolutely phenomenal. My jaw's on the ground. I just can't believe that I'm even reading this from the BMG. Those who refuse to get the shots bring a financial burden to the hospital staff and other people of Quebec, said the Premier. This 10% of the population can't burden the 90%. What a fucking joke. And it's actually the other way round. With 89% of its residents aged over 12 fully vaccinated, 89%, Quebec does not lag other provinces in coverage, but has persistently outpaced the rest of Canada in cases and deaths. This week, Horacio Arruda, who has been the provincial government's scientific advisor since the beginning of the pandemic, resigned after much criticism from independent experts. As in the UK, Quebec's government briefly suggested a herd immunity strategy in 2020, then dropped it after an outcry from scientists. A high early burden of deaths in elderly care was blamed on the government's practice of rotating workers between different care homes. More recent criticism has forced on the shortage of rapid tests and the delay in providing booster shots. Government attitudes are hardening in Europe. It is in Europe, however, that the move towards compulsory measures has been the most pronounced. On 17th of January, Greece will begin imposing monthly fines on over 60s who remain unvaccinated. The fine will be €50 a month, rising to €100 a month from February. Austria has already begun fining the unvaccinated and ordering lockdowns that apply only to them. Earlier this month, Italy Italy announced a vaccine mandate for the over 50s, backed by a sliding scale of fines, and that starts at 100 euro, but could rise to as much as 1,600 euro for the unvaccinated worker over 50 who attends work in February. A raft of other restrictions, including denial of public transport for the unvaccinated, causing an outcry in Venice, where many citizens will be stranded on small islands as a result. France will extend its vaccine passport scheme in a bid to piss off the unvaccinated, according to President Emmanuel Macron, who just voted himself in. But polling by Ipsos in France and Italy found the unvaccinated less hostile to mandates than might be expected, with 23% of unvaccinated French respondents supporting a mandate and 16% expressing no opinion. This result appears to bolster an argument made by two Harvard Medical School professors in New York Times. Anupam Jena and Christopher Warsham wrote that vaccine mandates meet less resistance than a campaign of persuasion, because people are used to being simply required to do things they dislike, such as paying taxes, whereas voluntary campaigns demand that they revise strongly held views and admit that their previous position was wrong. A far harder proposition. So basically, you will be re-educated in some way, but you will be re-educated and you will be jabbed. Incredible, isn't it? This from Germany, from RAIR Foundation, USA. Epidemic German and Austrian mayors under 60 are suddenly and unexpectedly dropping dead. Did you see the latest sports people in Australia having heart attacks? There's quite a few more popping up anyway, if you haven't seen that. When did so many young and healthy middle-aged people described as fit and sporty drop dead? Before 2020? Well, never. And now it's a common theme, but hey, who knows what it is, right? Since December 2020, many sudden and unexpected deaths of mayors under 60 years old have occurred in Germany and Austria. Questions are swirling about whether these elected officials were overwhelmed by job stress, or could there be another reason for so many fit and healthy politicians dying? Well, what could it be, folks? I'm confused. Could someone help me? Do you know what it is? On December 12, 2020, 41-year-old CSU Mayor Dirk Rosenbauer collapsed during a municipal council meeting and later died in a hospital in Coburg. The headline read, "At only 41 years old, mayor from Bavaria collapses during council meeting. He's dead. We are all completely shocked and it is incomprehensible. He was fit and very healthy, always walked his dogs and played handball. Sadly, the deadlines have been filled with similar cases for about 2 years. The names of mayors being added to the list of unexpected and sudden deaths seem to be growing steadily." The Frey Bremer channel on Telegram compiled a list of several such incidents, at least 15 known deaths in Germany and Austria in the period mentioned. However, the number of unreported cases could be much, much higher. And there's a whole list of them here. Down and down and down it goes. And it's got all their pictures, folks. And everything. Crikey, man. But we don't know what it is. There's a massive elephant sitting in the room. mRNA jabs on it. And tattooed on it. But we don't know what's causing it. Does anyone know what's causing these deaths and heart attacks? And just people just have dropped dead out of the blue sky after they've been injected? Does anyone know what's going on here? I can't figure it out. Help me. Just from One Nation, Pauline Hanson's One Nation, skipping back to Australia today for May the 30th. The WHO forced into humiliating backdown. Good news out of Geneva today. As most of you know, the World Health Assembly has spent the past 7 days considering Biden's 13 controversial amendments to the international health regulations. Official delegates from wealthy developed nations like Australia, of course, and the UK, of course, and the US, of course, part of the Five Eyes, spoke in strong support, of course, of the amendments and urged other states to join them in signing away their country's sovereignty. Isn't that wonderful? Thanks, Australian politicians. I am so proud of you. The first sign, however, that things might not be going to the globalist way came on Wednesday, the 25th of May, which just happened to also be Africa Day. Botswana read a statement on behalf of its 47 Afro members, saying they would be collectively withholding their support for the reforms, which many African members were very concerned about. Going back to the Africans in Australia, don't think I'm against Africans. I'm not, okay? I'm not saying that. They're wonderful people. What I'm saying is these criminals are being brought in and these violent youths are being brought in by Andrews and they're getting handouts and they're turning against us. Basically, they're biting the hand that feeds and they need to fucking go. And anyone who's related to them need to fucking go. They should be over in Africa. Africa's got all the resources and all the food and all the abilities to do everything they want in the world, and they should be able to look after themselves. We can see that these criminals in charge of this planet are purposely doing this, so they drive all of these people in these countries into European countries because it's all part of the white genocide plan, which is a Jew plan. Jews are behind white genocide. They absolutely are. There's many, many books on it, okay? I could pull up, hang on a sec, where was that? Boom, 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 boom. Where were we? Got so much going on here, indeed. Where are we? Where was that? I know I saw it. Happy Christmas, folks. Hope you guys are doing okay. Bum, 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 bum. Oh, there it is from the Tribune. Five Jewish books created for tyrannical global domination and destruction of the white race. Five Jewish books. This is from Ben Klassen from 1973. As we have seen from the history of the white race and of the Jewish race, the Jews throughout their long and torturous history have been the supreme masters of deceit, whereas the Egyptians are no more. The Babylonians have disappeared. The original Greeks were mongrelized and the Romans perished. The Jews, on the other hand, are alive today and are going strong. They are, in fact, now in control of the world. What do you reckon? Folks, Johnny Cerucci's kind of looking higher here. The people in this Rome Vatican area, these Jesuits and stuff, are pulling the strings of these Jews. Because it's kind of, I agree with this. Like John Hamer does, you know, he thinks it's Jews behind everything. But you know, I kind of think it just has to be bigger than this. You know, I think that the real mongrels are Jews, and I think that there's something so evil in these people. The system behind them chose them to do their dirty work. You know what I mean? So it's like the Jews are doing the filthy, dirty work of this system, because everyone answers to something else. You know, everyone has a boss. And I don't know, it's weird. It's weird. I think John is really onto something there, and I think that's really interesting. Why is it that this miserable race, which could never even found a culture, it had to be made for them, didn't it? They had to steal other people's land in Palestine and have a country for them. To manufacture a country for these filthy creatures, and they had to create a fake culture and civilization for these disgusting swine, because they're not able to build a country for themselves. If we analyze Jewish history, the answers are not too hard to come by. There are hundreds of reasons that could be listed, but basically, here are the a few. Early in their history, they recognized that a powerful weapon was religion, a weapon which, with which to unite their own race, and a weapon with which to destroy their enemies. They learned that in racial unity there is strength. They have been fanatically dedicated to their own race. They found that there is nothing more potent in unifying a group, nation, or race than hating a common enemy. As a consequence, all non-Jewish peoples have perpetually been their enemies and always will be. The Jews mastered the tricky techniques to confuse, divide, and conquer as a key in overcoming their enemies. They have relentlessly organized. They have organized their own people into thousands of effective and encompassing groups. They have also organized their enemies for their own destruction. They have been diabolically clever at propaganda. They have grasped early in their history what a powerful tool was propaganda was, with which to manipulate their enemies. And that is true, especially pornography and news and all of this. That's why they own it all. But it's interesting, if we look at Israel and with these mRNA injections and what they're doing to their own people. I mean, it's the most brutal draconian measures, if we were to believe what's going on there in the world. I mean, it's the worst place on earth to be, what they've done to their own people. You know, so why would they do that to their own people if they're in such control here? That's what Johnny Cerucci brought up, and that's really interesting. They're exterminating their own people. So why are they doing that? People who, you know, can't answer that. It's a really interesting thing to bring up. Jews are complete control of today's propaganda and news media, radio, television, motion pictures, Hollywood, newspapers, magazines, and on and on. They were already extremely adept at using propaganda before the modern means were even invented. Manipulation of the word has been their specialty as masters of deceit. In St. John 1:1, the Jewish Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," a strange claim indeed, but one loaded with meaning, a meaning that escaped most Gentiles, especially the preachers. What this strange bit of hocus-pocus really means in Jew language is that with words they can create gods, and conversely, words can become as powerful as a god in controlling and directing the minds and destinies of people. The Jews have used words and propaganda profusely and relentlessly to advantage and to the white man's detriment. They have specifically written 5 books that have had catastrophic effect on the history of mankind and the white race in particular. The books are the Old Testament. It has been a powerful instrument in uniting the Jewish race. The New Testament, it was written to confuse and confound the Romans in particular and the white race in general. It has been devastatingly effective. The Talmud, it was compiled over several centuries to give the Jews a code of laws to live by and a formula by which they could successfully destroy the Goyim, the white race. It's just absolutely pure evil. The Protocols of the Elders of Zion, again, this was a modern distilled essence of the principles scattered throughout the Talmud, but a concentrated and brought up to date version. Karl Marx's Das Kapital and the Communist Manifesto, together these two are the foundation and program for turning the Gentile peoples of the world into an organized Jewish slave labor camp. The program has already been successfully executed in Russia, Cuba, China, and dozens of other countries, now under the Jewish boot. You know, so interesting, and that article goes through those as well. Here is the gibberish that the Jews have made so spectacularly famous. The Communist Manifesto, abolition of property in land and application of all rents of land to public purposes, a heavy progressive or graduated income tax, abolition of all rights of inheritance, confiscation of property of all immigrants and rebels, centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of national bank with state capital and exclusive monopoly, centralization of the means of communication and transport in the hands of the state, extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state, the bringing into cultivation of wastelands and the improvement of the soil generally in accordance with the common plan, equal liability of all labor, established of all to labor, establishment of industrial armies, especially for agriculture, combination of agriculture with manufacturing industries, gradual abolition of the distinction between town and country by a more equitable distribution of the population over a country, free education for all children in public schools, abolition of children's factory labor in its present form, combination of education with industrial production. When we consider how much progress the Jews have made in instituting and making this diabolical program become a reality, it is gruesome to behold. Marxism, the poison brew by no recognized standard, may Karl Marx be considered a great writer nor even a great thinker. His famous production Das Kapital is so dull and so boring that it is almost impossible to read, despite the fact that it has been highly touted by the Jewish propaganda networks and tremendously promoted by international Jewry. This book has been read by little, and it's still today very seldom read by anybody at all. In fact, the book was not even written by Marx alone, but was compiled with a great deal of help from Friedrich Engels, his Jewish collaborator, and his financial angel. Engels revised and rearranged Marx's notes in a more readable form, but even so, the whole production is as difficult to wade through as to wade upstream in a river of cold molasses. Nor does this book contain any real intrinsic new theories. Marx borrowed most of his socialist theories from Condorcet, Saint-Simon, Auguste Comte, and others. The theory of thesis, antithesis, and synthesis, with the calls of dialectical materialism, was lifted from the works of G.W. Friedrich Hegel. It is a useless and unproductive theory that is no more than a play on words and can best be described as semantic casuistry. And nevertheless, the writings have been able to permeate and poison the minds of most of today's world, and it therefore behooves us to analyze and study why he did so and just what it was that Marx wrote. It is a different matter with communism, a Jewish perversion of socialism designed not to build for common effort, but designed to destroy the white man's nation, the white man's country, and the white man's civilization. Out of the ruins, the Jews then forge a hellish Jewish dictatorship. That is what communism is designed to do, and that is what the Jew means when he talks about socialism. And so that's what John Hamer was saying earlier on, that people call it socialism and all of this stuff. It's not, it's communism, and that's a designed plan. Anyway, that was what I was thinking about anyway. Anyway, going back to this other article, as I switch back and forth, sorry folks. Just an interesting one I had there today. Going back to the one I was reading about the WHO, Anyway, Botswana read a statement on behalf of its 47 Afro members saying they would be collectively withholding their support for the reforms, which many African members were very concerned about. Multiple other countries also said they had reservations over the changes and would not be supporting them either. I was just, someone put some information up on our Telegram channel today, looking at many, many Pacific Island nations who just told China to go and stuff it, basically. I don't know if you've seen that. There's big meetings over there. China want at least 10 or 12 Pacific Island nations, you know, like Fiji, Vanuatu, Tonga, all these beautiful islands. They're offering them massive, extravagant amounts of money in return to basically take them over, and they've all got together and said no. So the Chinese fuckwit had to go home basically empty-handed. We know they'll be back, but that's more good news today, folks, from the Pacific Islands, not far from Australia. Love these guys. They're awesome. Papua New Guinea, these places, fantastic. They came together and they told China to go and stick it. We're not doing any deals, because China want to basically throw money at corrupt politicians in order to go in there and take over and take their forests and natural resources and all of this, and move their technology in, also move into their police forces and, you know, infiltrate their police and military forces and all of this, start putting their AI tech in to spy on everybody. That's how they move in. It's like an entity. It's like a possession. And they've told them to go and take a jump. We're not interested. So that was really good news that I read today, and I did have the video. I don't have it on me now. So some of the countries that that have problems here include Brazil. And I don't know if you saw the Brazilian president. He basically said he wasn't going to sign this WHO treaty to take away our health sovereignty where they can call pandemics. And he basically said he's going to pull Brazil out of the WHO. That was the, I don't know who it was. I wanted this other president to get into Chile as well, because he was connected with the Brazilian guy. I thought that would be a better deal for Chile. South America's always been like this, and Brazil and stuff, they don't play ball. You know, they can be really difficult customers. This also includes Russia, India, China. Well, why would China? They own everything, right? Unbelievable. China are going to pull out. Give me a break. South Africa, Iran, Malaysia. Brazil in particular said, as I said, it would exit the WHO altogether. What does Australia have to do? We don't have to do... It's not only that Australia has to say no deal, but we have to exit the WHO altogether, and even the UN. Oh, man, but we have to exit the WHO. And as I said on previous podcasts, this is what Trump did, didn't he? This is what Trump did, and you can't deny that he did, and that was pretty phenomenal to see him do that and basically say they're useless and they didn't want to be part of it anymore. You know, that was really interesting part of history, and I don't know how many of my members support Trump and how many don't. Because it brings up a lot of passion in people, but I love that about him. I love that he did that. That was pretty unbelievable to see an American president do that, wasn't it? I mean, it really was, to be honest. So, multiple other countries also said they had many problems. And that's just a few. In the end, the WHO and its wealthy nation supporters were forced to back down. So one of those wealthy nation supporters was Australia, along with the US. We're really being represented by fucking idiots in this country, and we're being flushed down the toilet, and we're being humiliated and stabbed in the back. But Australians keep supporting these politicians who are just cancer. When are they going to get it? At their request, a new working group was convened to make technical recommendations on the proposed amendments, which will be resubmitted along with a pandemic treaty at the 77th Health Assembly meeting in 2024. So there's not really any deals happening on this front now, which is pretty good news for now, but as it says here, they won't go away. So there's also been lots of pushback from Republicans in the US, with a number of them introducing new bills, giving the US Congress and Senate powers to override any WHO mandates or directives issued as part of any international agreements. So basically, if these criminal politicians like Biden sign anything, some of these smart US Congress people and senators, they're implementing bills that would override that in their states, I guess. So that's what I said before. You want to be aligned with certain states like Florida and stuff like that. If you're in the US, you want to get to these states that are doing this kind of stuff where you have a lot more protections. Hey, it's a political game. One called the No WHO Pandemic Preparedness Treaty Without Senate Approval Act has 15 co-sponsors and was introduced to the Senate on Thursday by Republican Senator Ron Johnson, who said the sovereignty of the United States is not negotiable. Here in Australia, we need to keep the pressure up on our own parliaments, both federal and state, and up the ante, and don't ever look sideways. Just brace for the digital ID now, and as the federal parliament reboots, we will need to push back at all costs on that from this week moving forwards. I urge everyone who has not already done so to sign and share the Queensland Parliament petition on the IHR amendments and pandemic treaty link below. So I'll put that in the description after I finish soon in the podcast. And just a quick note here on the Australian elections. I was watching a guy, he's just obsessed on Telegram today, talking about because the election, if you follow that in Australia, they're about 70% completed in the Senate on the counting of the votes. So it's, you know, it's actually not all over. It's actually looking pretty good for freedom parties. To be honest, it is. Because we've already got great people in there. It looks like Pauline Hanson of One Nation will retain her seat. Of course, we've got Malcolm Roberts and Rennick and a few of these guys as well in there that are already staying put. But we could get anywhere from another 5 to even 6 senators put into seats here, and this would mean that freedom parties in Australia actually rival the Greens in this country in the parliament. The way things are looking, we could get a good guy in seats in every state in this country. And we're still waiting to see what's happening, but all the Senate votes are still being done, so they're about 70% finished now. But it's actually panning out better for us, actually, because if you look at the federal government, like Liberal and Labor, the Liberal Party under this fucking idiot, pedophile, fucking scumbag ScoMo got wiped out. I mean, they've just been annihilated. That is fantastic to see. I mean, they absolutely got annihilated. And yes, a lot of stupid bozos voted for Labor this time. But if you look at their actual primary vote, like in this country, it's way, way down. And that's what this guy on the video was saying. Joel, I think it was. Yeah, it's an interesting guy. But, you know, and the voting for the Freedom Parties has actually increased. But we can't think that we're going to get rid of these two governments overnight. It's going to take time, but I think looking at it now, even though initially I was very negative and upset about it, looking at it now and listening to some stuff today, I think there is actually hope. If you believe in politics or you think that's going to change anything, if you don't, I understand. I'm just reporting on the political spectrum here because I'm trying to cover everything, okay? Don't forget that the Kras Files website also is a big newsfeed website, and there's going to be articles going up that not a lot of people, that some people don't agree with and some people do, or some people in between. It's just the way that it is. It's a newsfeed website as well, so lots of different news articles go up. That's why I always encourage people to comment. If you agree or disagree, let me know. That's fine. I don't get upset. I'm not sensitive. That's fine. some articles I don't fully agree with, but I like the writing and I like some things they say, so I think I'll just post that, you know what I mean? So some people sort of think I'm all over the place because I'm putting up something they like and then I'm putting up something they don't like. It's just because I'm trying to, you know, put up everything. I don't want to just go down the one path, okay? If articles seem okay to me, even if people don't trust those websites, if I like that article and there's some good stuff in it, I'll just post it because it's a newsfeed website as well. So there's lots going on the website. That's just, and I have to keep feeding articles through and just keep it interesting for people because a lot of people do like some of the articles. You know, it just depends on who's logging on. That's all. So, you know, as I said, and with Pauline Hanson, and don't forget, I'm reading this from a One Nation website, Pauline Hanson's One Nation. I'm reading this. So, you know, we don't have any choice. We need these guys in the federal parliament, and it looks like they're staying put. So that's good. And it looks like we could be adding more of these people and even a United Australia Party senator in there. So let's see what happens there. So, you know, Labor's, and this, scumbag little pathetic ass-licking weasel who calls himself the Prime Minister of this country. Listen, this scumbag little ass-licking, weasel is not the Prime Minister of this country because we do not recognize him as that. He's a scumbag. He sniffs asses for a living. That's what he does. He's got a little brown nose and he's got a touch of brown on his top lip. And he's an ass sniffer. That's what he is. Okay? Albanese is it. This guy is the biggest joke I've ever seen in my life. He doesn't represent me. I don't, I do not contract with these people and I do not see this fucking wanker as anything. He is nothing. Okay? But what I do see is some deep changes happening within this government, and we have to start somewhere. So it's all I'm saying is I'm looking at that. It's not looking too bad now, to be honest, with the Australian election. So let's just see in the next few weeks, because it's going to take a while, how this all pans out. And from what I know, or what this guy was saying today, we could actually be rivaling the Greens in the new government. So you're going to have that Freedom Party. And also what he was saying is, look what happened in Canberra. In a few days' notice, we got a million people in our state capital in Canberra. In our country's capital, sorry, in Canberra, right? We got a million people. We got basically people on Telegram and stuff organizing this, and we got a million people from all over the country. People came from Perth to Canberra. You know how long that takes? They came from Queensland. They came from the outback. They came from every part of this country, and they were there on that day that I was there. It was really a snapshot in time. It was a moment in history. In this country that I'm just so proud that I was there. It was an amazing, amazing thing. And it hasn't happened like that since, I understand. But that day in Canberra was unbelievable. We had a million people in that place from all over this country, from every single walk of life that you can possibly comprehend in this country, they came. All right? What other political party in this country can do that? None of them. The Greens can't do that. Labor can't do that. Liberal can't do that. None of them can do it. All right? And we did that. We did that. And it was amazing to see. And that shows you where we're heading, where we're going. And how. And so I would stay positive if you're into the whole political thing. I think that originally, yes, I was very negative and pissed off about it because I hate these teals. I can't stand the Greens and I can't stand Labor even worse. It's just communism. But you know what? They're trying to pump their chest up and act like they're bigger than what they are, but they're not. Okay? So it's going to be interesting times. It really is to see how this all pans out. So stay tuned. I'll keep an eye on it anyway. We're already 52 minutes. Anyway, to finish up tonight, I'm just going to finish on this. There's so much going on with the ambulance services, as I was saying in one of the last podcasts in Australia. There's so much going on. They got it on all the morning breakfast shows and all the nightly news, and they're starting to put this out about the ambulance system at Code Red and breaking. This is from news.com.au that I saved. And this article is entitled Victoria's Ambulance System at Breaking Point as Code Red Declared. Dozens of desperate 000 calls of help went unanswered on Friday morning. I'm thinking this is last Friday morning. Dozens going unanswered as the service breaks under the pressure. We're seeing this everywhere, folks. Victoria's ambulances are battle-hardened. The service is being forced to declare another code red as it buckles under the pressure. But not one single zealot and fuckwit in the Australian MSM media are saying because these people are having adverse events or reactions to these COVID-19 mRNA jabs. Not one of them are addressing the elephant in the room. Okay, and the industry is struggling because so many paramedics were sent out of their jobs because they don't want to get the jabs, and they have 20, 30 years experience and now they can't work. So this is what I'm seeing all around the country. I'm picking it up especially today. In fact, I have a video here. Let me have a look if I have that video. Bear with me, folks. Mask plea. Here it is.
Is at risk, but increasingly our ambulance service is wasted on non-urgent calls.
They don't need two paramedics. They don't need an emergency response, but they do need assistance.
000 is receiving up to 500 more calls each day than before the pandemic.
People are dying now. People are dying now.
The latest emergency solution, taxis. 000 operators will soon be able to call drivers, redirecting non-emergency patients to pharmacies or GPs.
We'd be thinking of patients who, for example, have a really minor soft tissue injury, or they need their script filled, but they can't get to their pharmacy.
We'd always err on caution, and we would refer to the hospital if we really thought that they needed urgent care.
The system is already in place in Victoria, but there are concerns about introducing it here.
Undertaking triage over the phone is something that can be fraught with danger.
Nine News can reveal 13 Cabs is in final negotiations with New South Wales Ambulance and expects the program to be rolled out within a matter of weeks. The Health Services Union, however, says it could be as soon as Monday. But they also say this is just a band-aid solution. What they really need is 2,000 new ambulance officers. Hayley Francis, Nine News.
So we can see what's happening there. They're just lying. They're lying. I mean, soft tissue damage. Tell me, why would people be clogging up the emergency 000 health lines, calling for ambulances just because they're bored? I mean, really, seriously, there's a big problem here and they're trying to cover it up and they're lying about it. Now, what did we say last year? The hospitals were not full because people hadn't had enough jabs yet and it was only news, so they were trying to tell us that the hospitals were full with COVID patients, but they're not. And what did we say was going to happen this year? The hospitals really would start filling up and then it would start to be this catastrophic event where we would start to see the injuries and the deaths roll and roll like an avalanche. And that's what we're starting to see. So when that happens, the media have got to just lie on top of lie on top of lie on top of lie on top of lie and just keep lying to cover it all up. But this is what's happening all over the country. People are having these jabs, they're at home, they're having heart palpitations, they've got problems, they've got health issues, they're ringing the ambulance and they can't. What are they going to do in this country now? Well, they're going to send you a cab. Jump in a cab when you're having a heart attack or a blood clotting situation and they'll line you up out front of the hospitals, you know what I mean? But it's not the jabs. It's not the jabs. It's not the jabs, folks. It's not the jabs. I just want everyone to understand. It's not the jabs. And so, yes, a part of the problem here is because many, many, many ambulance, workers, paramedic workers didn't want to get the jabs because they saw the injuries and they know that this is fucking dangerous and can possibly kill you. So they've said no and they've been sent home. So the industry is lacking with workers. That's absolutely true. But come on. Ambulance Victoria responded to 93,234 Code 1 incidences during the first 3 months of 2022, a 14.2% increase on the same time last year. Okay, now what have we been saying? You can't hear the end of the ambulances. Why was I cleaning the car the other day and saw a fucking ambulance drive straight past me and directly up a street opposite me with no siren on? It didn't even look like the engine of that ambulance was on. It just rolled up the street in silence. An ambulance! Folks, I was cleaning the car the other day, vacuuming my car. And an ambulance, a New South Wales Sydney ambulance, went straight past me and up the street directly opposite where I am. Just rolled up the street, and I've seen them before. No siren on. Okay, so here we have a 14.2% increase, and that's just what they're telling us on the same time last time. So last year, at this time last year, and you look at now, this time this year, there's nearly been a 15% increase in people calling for serious conditions. 93,500 people. They're telling you that it's a horror story for the Victorian Ambulance Services. And this is barely months after everybody took those jabs. You know what I mean? So as this gets worse and worse and worse, and I'm seeing it all around me. I'm seeing it all around me. I've got friends, their fathers are sick, their fathers have just dropped dead. There's people that are unwell everywhere. Everywhere, people are getting all sorts of problems, and it's only going to get worse. And so if it's increased nearly 15%, what's it going to be next year at this time? Going to be 30, 35, 40% or even more? How is the system going to cope? This is what I'm saying. Look after your health, folks. If you are unjabbed, give yourself a pat on the back. I want you to open a beer. I want you to have a drink. When you listen to this podcast, I want you to do this. When you listen to this podcast, whenever it is, I want you to pour yourself a stiff liquor. I'm having a brandy tonight with some ice. I want you to have a bourbon. I want you to have a beer, whatever it is. And I want you to have a nice big skull of that drink. And I want you to pat yourself on the back and feel very proud of what you have done, remaining unvaccinated at this point in history. You are awesome. Awesome. Be very, very, very proud of yourself that you do not have that fucking shit in your body. I'm telling you, because it is getting fucking serious, right? And now there's all these news clips from Victoria coming out where they're basically saying that the flu's really bad this year and people are going to get sick from the flu. And you better have a watch out. Here's one here.
An alarming number of people are falling victim to the disease. It's prompted fresh calls to mask up as we head into winter to reduce the strain on the state's health system and save lives. For more on this, let's bring in Victoria's AMA President, Dr. Roderick McRae. Doctor, good afternoon. Now, would you support the return of masks?
Look, I've encouraged the voluntary use of masks for several months now. It's a very simple, non-pharmacological
voluntary
mechanism of just reducing the transmission of not one but two highly infectious respiratory viruses.
Not one but two.
Really, really disgusting.
Hang on, where'd the first one go? They took it away for ages. Now they've brought it back. Now it's not one but two.
We should be doing to stop the spread of COVID as we head into winter.
Yeah, put a bag over your head, you stupid troll.
A few hours ago. All of the simple mechanisms, we've been hearing about them for about 2 years. It's minimise your movement, because that's how the virus transmits. Do simple things, sneeze correctly, cough into your sleeve or your lapel jacket, the mask wearing, and get vaccinated. All of these things do so much for each of us as an individual.
Viruses are fake. There's no virus.
System.
We're hearing about the numbers of deaths every day, but who is actually dying? Is it the elderly or is it the young too? What's the spread?
It's indeed a remarkable spread. So basically, all ages from start to finish. We also have
what's the spread?
Virus. virus zipping around Melbourne as well.
Zipping?
Affecting the younger age group, so neonates, toddlers, preschoolers. And of course, it's just going around.
Oh, toddlers?
Staff associated there.
Preschoolers, teenagers.
Patients coming as a consequence of COVID.
Higher number of patients coming through.
And
ah, course, because they've got the flu, right.
Die of COVID-19 in their 20s or 30s, we'd hear all about.
Oh, in their 20s or 30s, they're dying. Okay.
Double vax, but not boosted. How at risk are they now? Yeah.
Well, look, the clear medical advice is that they're highly at risk. So we use this language which says fully vaccinated, but that was long ago and against different variants. Through calendar 2022, that's the last 5 months, it's predominantly the Omicron variant. And despite people reporting that it doesn't give such a severe illness, it's actually killed more Victorians and more Australians. Clear medical advice is that they're highly
dying. Is it the elderly or is it the young too? What's the spread?
It's in staff associated there. Clear medical advice is that they're highly at risk. So we use this language that says fully vaccinated, but that was long ago and against different variants. Through calendar 2022, that's the last 5 months, it's predominantly the Omicron variant. And despite people reporting that it doesn't give such a severe illness, it's actually killed more Victorians and more Australians in this 5 months than in the preceding 2 years. People really need to be alert to the fact that the virus is not away, has not gone anywhere. Absolutely.
The virus is not a way. What a putrid piece of fucking shit this guy is. What an absolute scumbag. Can you believe that this fucking disgusting fucking cunt can even get up in the morning and look at his putrid, disgusting face in the mirror? What a disgusting sellout. This guy's sold his soul to the devil and he doesn't even care. Can you hear what they're saying there? They're basically telling you if you've had two or three, if you've had boosters, you're at high risk of dying. That's what they're telling you. They're telling you that you are targeted. If you've been double vaccinated and triple vaccinated, you're the one that's on the list of the high risk people. That's what they're telling you. Do I need to play that again? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So they're telling you that 21 and 23 year olds are dying and it's because of the flu. When in history have 23 year old people, 23 and 20 year old kids died of a common cold? Now they're telling you that they're all dropping dead and it's because of the Omicron mixed with the flu. And that oh my god, you can't believe it. You can't believe it, folks. You can't believe it. It's just unbelievable. It is just beyond belief what these people are getting away with it. And they're just going to blame everything under the sun for those jabs. And people becoming sick and dying because of those jabs that they got in their arms. They're going to come up with every excuse in the book that you could possibly conjure up on steroids to cover for the simple, in-your-face fact that people are getting sick and dying from those jabs in their arms. And this is playing out on live television. Last year they didn't need to do this, but now they need to do it because it's starting to become overwhelming. And people are starting to see it. So they're just conjuring up lie after lie after lie. And it's just becoming insane. Insane. Where is this going to go? How bad is this going to get, folks? How bad is this going to get? Where is this going to go? This just this year. How are they going to continue to hide the damage and the deaths? Look at this from Humans Are Free. Investigation launched after mystery surge in deaths of newborn babies. Health authorities in Scotland have launched an investigation after a mystery surge. It's a mystery, you see, in deaths of newborn babies. The second time the phenomenon has been recorded in the space of 6 months. A report of the Herald newspaper highlights the very unusual spike in deaths of babies, with the alarm being raised after 18 infants Americans died within 4 weeks of birth in March. That same control limit was also breached in September last year when 21 non-natal deaths were reported, the first time this had occurred since records began. The neonatal mortality rate was 5.1 per 1,000 live births in September and 4.6 per 1,000 in March, against an average of 1.49 per 1,000 in 2019, reports the Herald. It's on probe into latest spike in deaths of newborns. 18 babies die within 4 weeks, the second mortality peak in 6 months, on the front of the paper there. So Public Health Scotland said the deaths could not be have been down to chance, while the cause behind the previous spike in September also remained a mystery. The report notes that jab intake has increased in expectant mothers and the COVID infections during pregnancy and associated with a higher chance of premature birth, but found no link between the COVID surges and the death. So really what they're going to do is they're going to say that the mothers were pregnant and they had COVID. And now if you were diagnosed with COVID, and even if it was before you got pregnant and now you're pregnant, you're going to lose the baby, or there's a high chance you could lose the baby, but it's not the jab that you got. Edinburgh University's Dr. Sarah Stock said the numbers are extremely troubling, but admitted she didn't know the cause of the deaths. Oh my God, my head hurts. It feels like we're in an alternate reality, isn't it? Doesn't it? You know, like the times have shifted. Something's happened. And we've all ended up in this kind of alter reality where it's like, it's the life that we knew, but everything's just twisted and dark and just wrong. And we've got to get back to where we were. You know, it's just absolutely insane. It's absolutely insane. I can't believe what's going on. This is just crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And you've got health professionals working in hospitals who know the truth here, and they're just denying it and claiming they don't know what it is. And there's just a massive, massive, massive elephant in the room now in front of everybody, and they don't know what it is. I actually know people who are sick and they think they've got COVID, and they've been sick since they got those injections, and they just keep telling themselves they've got COVID, and they just keep telling themselves lies. They just can't. They will not accept the simple fact that after they got those COVID-19 injections last year, their health has slowly deteriorated and they have been unwell for months now. They just won't accept it. They won't accept that it's the jabs. They just refuse to accept that they're putting their heads in the sand. And you know what? So be it. Great chatting with you guys tonight. Look after yourselves. You know, keep researching, keep active, keep involved, and get on the website, get in the members area and chat away and leave links, sign in there and leave links, get over on the Kraz Files chat on Telegram and leave all the links that you want to, comment away to the articles going up, comment away to the podcast here, tell me what you think. You know, and look after yourself and your loved ones and those around you who are on deck and on board. Build your communities, dig in, build your tribe, stay committed, stay positive. You know, keep prepping, keep organizing, keep your personal spaces around you solid, and keep in control and keep ahead of the game, because the information that I'm reading to you tonight may be like, yeah, Adam, we know this, you know, it's all good, but you know, share it with those people that you think might be wanting to get involved. But also, on the other side of the coin, it really is amazing how many people just have fucking no idea. They got no idea. You talk to them, they are clueless. They've just been brainwashed. You know, They've had shovel loads of media filth and propaganda just shoveled into their brains for decades, and they've got no fucking clue what planet they're on. They're absolutely clueless. They don't know anything. They don't know what they were given. They have no clue about any of this. No clue. They don't even know what's going on over there in Davos. They don't even know what Davos is. I can't believe these people have passports. They've got no fucking clue. Even if you try to tell them the basics about what's going on, they have no clue what you're talking about. They don't know anything. It's just unbelievable how uneducated and stupid they are. The scary thing is they got kids. These poor little kids breaks my heart. Anyway, we'll chat again soon. Take care, folks. Great to chat tonight. Thanks for your support. Keep active on the website and we move forward.